Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why don't you say that with me tonight? Say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Shall not want. I will not want. Amen. Now that's a promise from God himself in the Word. Is the Lord your shepherd? All right, so if the Lord is your shepherd, when will he get you to the place that you do not have any want? Another word for that word want there is lack. When will the Lord get you to the place where you have no lack? Because the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I shall not lack. So if we shall not lack because we got the Lord as our shepherd, when will we get to the place where we don't lack? How many people believe we need to get to the place where we don't lack, where we're not in want for anything? I mean, God is abundantly supplying everything. We're well provided for, well taken care of. When do we get to that place? Is it different for everybody? What's it according to? When will we get to that place? See, we don't want to just say the word, speak the word, and then not really get a hold of the reality, what it's saying, and really expect to see it in our life. He said, if the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. You shall not lack. So bless God, when do we get to the place where we have no want, no lack? How many people want to know? It's when the Lord is your shepherd. That's when it is. It's when the Lord is your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want, I shall not lack. Let me read this from a few different other translations. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. When do you lack nothing? When the Lord's your shepherd. When the Lord's your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. I have what I need. When are you going to have what you need? When the Lord is your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I will always have everything I need. I'll always have. That means starting right now. I'll always have. I have and always will have everything I need. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. So when will you have everything you need? When the Lord is your shepherd. When the Lord is your shepherd. That's when we shall not be in want. It is now. Right now. And how many people know faith in God is now? Faith is now. Faith is always in the present tense. And how many people know we need to be in faith concerning the Word of God? That's where our faith needs to be. It needs to be in the Word of God. So we need to be in faith concerning what God says now. And now God is our shepherd, and now we shall not want. And we need to now, by faith, see ourselves in a place where we have no want, no lack. That's where we need to see ourselves already, because everything that we're going to have in the physical realm for you and I as Christians, as people of faith, is going to come as a result of our faith. Of course, we know the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Not by sight. And the Bible tells us that because many times what we see can appear very contrary to what God says. So God says that all your needs are met. That you have no want, no lack now, because the Lord is your shepherd. But then we look around and see lack. We see things we still want, things that we still need and don't have yet. So he says we walk by faith and not by what we see. And so that means we're not reacting to what we see. We're not living according to what we see. We're living according to what God says. God says, I have no want, no lack. All my needs are met. All my needs are taken care of because the Lord is my shepherd. So if I believe that, then there's no more worry, right? There's no more fear. There's no more anxieties about anything. There's no more striving and struggling to get things because we already see ourselves as already having all things that we'll ever need. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. See, because remember, Jesus, how many people know, he is the fulfillment of all. He is the fulfillment of all. Everything in life that is good has come forth from him, comes forth from him. He's the creator of everything. He's the fulfillment of everything. So if you got him, if he's your shepherd and you got him, then you've got fulfillment. Because, look again, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you, because of that, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. So notice, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. That word complete, when you look it up in the original Greek language, means filled up. You are filled up in him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Nobody should be on empty. Do you have the Lord as your shepherd? Is he in you? Are you in him? Well, bless God, you're filled up. Hallelujah. Spirit-filled. Filled with him. Filled up. That word complete also means full. Full. You are full in him. Full. To cause to abound. Liberally supplied. Filled to the top so that nothing is wanting to full measure. Nothing is wanting. Sounds like Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And you are complete in him. In other words, you are filled to the top so that nothing is wanting in him. Filled to the brim. To fulfill, to receive fulfillment. So notice, Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. You are full in him. You are fulfilled in him. You have received fulfillment in him. Now, if you're fulfilled, then you have no want of anything. And all your needs are taken care of. You are abundantly supplied. Everybody say abundantly supplied. And then I love this next part, verse 15. It says, let's see here. You are complete in him. You are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Verse 10. You are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Some people know, the Bible says, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, rules of the darkness, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Talking about demonic spirits. Well, Jesus is the head of all these demons. He's Lord over all of them. And he's in you. And you have fulfillment. And how do you know the root of every problem in life is the devil or demons? Demons are at the root of all your problems in life. Wherever there may seem to be lack, wherever there may seem to be want, wherever there may seem to be problems in life, the devil is at the root of it. But Jesus, who is in you, is the head of all those demons. So you understand that when you walk into a place, you walk in with the head of all principality and power. You walk in with all authority over devils and demons. You walk in with all authority over every problem. You walk in with full authority over all lack and all needs. And the root of all those, all that lack and needs. You walk in with full authority over it all. Hallelujah. So you see, that's how we are to live our life. As the Lord is our shepherd. And therefore, we have the answer to everything. We have the fulfillment of everything. We are complete in him. We have no want, no lack. All we have is the answers to everything. We are fully supplied because we have the supplier of all things. And if you've got the supplier of all things, then there's nothing that you will lack in life. Just as surely, I mean, just as soon as you see a need, you got the supplier of the need right there with you. You got the provider of every need with you right there already. Now, this is how we need to live. This is how we need to think. This is how we need to walk. We need to walk by faith in that the Lord is our shepherd, and therefore we have no want and no lack. Not now, not never. We are complete in him. We're not trying to be made complete. I didn't get married to be made complete. I didn't come to my wife as a half a sandwich, you know. And people say, well, there's your other half. No, that's not my other half. I wasn't a half before her, and I'm not a half now. I'm full. I'm full. I'm complete. I abound. I overflow. There's no want. There's no lack. This is what I have on the inside of me. This is what we have on the inside of us. This is what you have in you if the Lord is your shepherd. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. You are fulfilled in him. You got to see yourself full and fulfilled, complete and in want for nothing. That's where it starts. We walk by faith and not by sight. This is how we need to see ourselves. This is how we need to think of ourselves. We can't let our circumstances define us. You can't let your checkbook define you. You can't let your conditions in the natural define you. God's word needs to be the thing that defines you. And we need to live out of the overflow of that word of God that's in our heart. We need to overflow with the word, overflow with the Lord. How many people know the Lord, our shepherd, is the word of God? He is the word of God. How do I know the Lord is my shepherd? He's the one leading me and guiding me in life because I'm following his word. I'm following what the word says. You could say this, the word is my shepherd. The word of God is my shepherd. I shall not want. Kind of see it that way. See, that might make more sense to people. The word of God is my shepherd. The word of God is what shepherds me. It's what leads me. It's what guides me in life. And therefore, I do not want. I do not lack for any good thing. Amen. So nothing we do now in life should be out of necessity, out of need. I need to do this and I need to do that. Nothing we do in life should be being done out of need, because we're not needy, because God has already supplied us with all we need. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver." Notice that if someone's giving out of necessity, then more than likely, they're not very cheerful. Because notice what he said. He says, don't give out of necessity, because God loves a cheerful giver. So a cheerful giver is not a giver who gives out of necessity. Well, not just in giving, but in living. How do we know we are to be living lives full of joy? We should be living cheerful. We should be cheerful all the time. We should be the happiest people alive. Praise God forever. Happy all the time. Not just when the circumstances seem to be going well for us, but happy all the time. Why? Because God is for us. God is with us. God is in us. And he's in us and with us all the time. And in his presence is fullness of joy, pleasures forevermore, evermore, 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 evermore. They just keep going and going and going. There's no want. There's no lack. It's pleasures forevermore. But if you live a life doing things out of necessity, more than likely, you're going to be living in anxiety, not in liberty. But God wants us living in liberty, not in anxiety. He wants us doing things out of cheerfulness, not out of necessity, not because we need to. So, we need to give, don't we? Well, didn't he just say, you go back to verse 6, "This I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." Now you look at that and think, well, I want to reap bountifully. I mean, we need stuff. We need needs met, don't we? I mean, we need money. We need supplies. We need a bountiful harvest. We need increase. This is what we need. How do you get there? Sow bountifully. Sow bountifully, reap bountifully. So then, therefore, we need to sow bountifully because we need to reap bountifully. And yet, the next verse says, after telling us that, thank you, he says, now, if you want a bountiful harvest, you're going to need to sow bountifully. Isn't that what he said? So many words, that's what he's saying. And then he turns right around and says, but don't give out of need. Don't give out of need. Well, then how should we give? Give out of faith. Give out of faith that the Lord is your shepherd and that you have no want, you have no lack, you have no needs. That's how you get your needs. How do I get what I need? By not focusing on what I need, but focusing on the supplier of my need, who I have with me already all the time. See, there are two parts to you. There is the mental, and there is the spiritual. You are mental, I say that in a nice way, and you are spiritual. You are spiritual. You are both. And so your mind and the natural part of you sees what? Needs. Sees what you need and sees what needs to be done to get those needs met. But that's not all there is to you. You are a spirit. And these are two totally different realms. The natural realm and the spirit realm are two totally different realms. And you and I are to be living out of the spirit realm while operating here in the natural. So we're operating in the natural, and in the natural we're dealing with needs. But we deal with these needs out of the spirit. We don't limit ourselves just to the natural. We operate out of the spirit, and out of the spirit we are abundantly supplied, and we have no want, no lack, no need of anything. And so these two, the spiritual and the natural, need to flow together. That's why he says we walk by faith, which is of the spirit, and not by sight, which is of the natural. But we see in the natural there are needs, and there are things we need to do. And so here in verse 6, he's addressing the renewing of your mind. And he's telling you that you need to sow bountifully to reap bountifully, to get the harvest of what you have need of in life. This is what you need to do. So now we understand in the natural what we need to do, but when we actually do it, we don't do it out of the natural. We do it out of the spiritual. We do it out of faith in God, our shepherd. So we see ourselves by faith complete, fully supplied, as we begin to walk out in the natural, the getting our needs met and taken care of. But they were already met before we saw them met in the natural, because we already had them met in the spiritual by faith, because the Bible says so. So a lot of times people, they address things in the natural and they just get hung up on the seen. They just get hung up on what they can see and what they have need of and what they need to do to make it happen. And it's just, the Bible tells me this is what we need to do. And man, we need to do this. And they just get hung up on the need and the natural and what they need to do in the natural, forgetting about the spiritual and doing things out of that place of faith. And that's why people get over into anxiety and they get frustrated and people get burned out, worn out, because they're striving in the physical rather than resting in the spirit. So we need to be resting in the spirit, resting in faith, confident in faith. I mean, walking around like the richest, most blessed, happiest, most fulfilled people on the face of the earth, while doing what we know to do in the natural, doing the word of God. Sowing where he says so, doing what he tells us to do. It's not just in our doing, it's not just in our actions, but it's in the motives behind our actions that is important. We need to give out of the overflow of God's love, not out of necessity. We're not giving out of necessity. Yes, we know what we need to do. We need to sow bountifully. We need to sow bountifully because we need to have a bountiful harvest. But yet, when we actually sow, we don't sow out of need, out of necessity. We sow out of the overflow of the love of God that is in our heart. We sow out of the overflow of the word of God that is in our heart. We sow out of the good shepherd and all that he supplies us with. We're not just sowing in the natural. It doesn't just stop in the natural. We don't sow out of, we don't give, we don't do anything out of necessity, out of obligation, out of compulsion, out of pressure, out of need, out of want. And yet, Our needs are met through our sowing and reaping bountifully. Do you see that? Praise God forever. So with my mind, I know what I need to do. But I don't do what I do out of my mind, out of the mental realm. I actually do it out of the overflow of my heart. Because notice again what he said back in 2 Corinthians, verse 7. So let each one give as he purposes in his head. Let him look with his head and react to his circumstances and decide what to sow. Is that what it says? No. He says, let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Can you give out of your head? Oh, people do it all the time. People live out of their head. People live out of their head. They give out of their head. They pray out of their head. But that's not how we're to be living and giving and doing things. We're to be doing everything out of our, as we purpose in our heart. And who's in our heart? The Lord, our shepherd, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit is in our heart. And that's how we do what we do in life. We do it by faith in Him, in us, in Him overflowing out of us. In the natural, we all have needs, and we need those needs to be met. But in the Spirit, we have fullness, not needs. Naturally, we have responsibilities, and we need to meet those responsibilities. In the Spirit, we have completion. In the natural, we have responsibilities. In the Spirit, we have completion. Everything is done already. We're just walking it out in God. I mean, that's really how it is. It's already done. How many people know God has already gone before us, and He's already seen the end of the whole thing? And He has already gone ahead and provided everything. In fact, He knew you before the foundation of the world was ever laid. He knew you. He understood you. He saw the whole thing. In fact, you can go to the book of Revelation and see yourself in heaven already waving a palm branch or something like that right there before the throne of God. Tribulation's done. Everything's wrapped up. We already have visions of you in heaven as one of the overcomers shouting and praising God. It's right there in the book of Revelation. I mean, it's done. It is finished in Him. It is already complete. But bless God, we're walking it out. We're just walking it out with the Lord, our shepherd. And because we live by faith, to us, it's already complete. It's already done. I'm already an overcomer. I'm already more than a conqueror. I'm already victorious. I've already won. See, just like with healing. I'm not trying to get healed. I'm not trying to get healed. A lot of people see, they go over to the Word of God. It says over there in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, by whose stripes you were healed. So people take hold of that. By whose stripes you were healed. Oh. By whose stripes you were healed. Oh. And they're trying to get healed by using the Word. They're trying to use the Word to get, see, they're in the natural. They're just in the natural. They're taking the Word, and they're just in the natural, taking the Word to the natural, in the natural. They're reacting to the natural and going back to the Word, and thank God for the Word, but they're doing it all in the natural. By whose stripes you were healed. By whose stripes, I still don't feel any better. By whose stripes you were healed, I still don't feel any better. It's just all in the natural realm. No. Thank God the Word of God renews our mind so that we can just flow out of our heart by faith in the Word of God. And now I'm healed. I'm not trying to get healed. I'm already healed. Devil comes along, tries to poke you, tries to bring some kind of demonic thing, some kind of symptom. You gotta look and say, oh, you're too late. I already won. Devil says, I'm going to kill you. You gotta say, oh, it's too late. I've already died. I've already been raised up. I'm seated in heavenly place in Christ Jesus, man. I'm already dead. It's no longer I who live. It's Christ who lives in me now. It's too late. It's all too late. I've already been resurrected. I'm already healed. I'm not trying to be. See, that's faith. We're just living life out of our spirit, out of that spirit of faith. We're just letting the overflow of what we know to be true in our hearts to just flow out of us and address the things that we see that are contrary in the natural. And as we address the things that are contrary to God's word in the natural by flowing out of our hearts, then all these things are taken care of. All these crooked places are made straight. People say, well, there's a lot of things, Pastor, that I've dealt with it in faith, but it hasn't been made straight. Yeah, I could tell by the way you're talking that you've dealt with it by faith. No. See, a lot of folks think they're in faith. They never were in faith. If there's whininess and anxiety and frustration, then you're not in the place of I'm complete. Oh, bless God, we need to see ourselves complete. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, you know, there's another scripture that says, he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. And yet here he says, you're complete. Colossians 2, you're already complete in him. And I asked the Lord about that one day. I said, now, wait a minute. I said, here you're saying that you will complete the work that you begin in us. And yet here in Colossians, you said we're already complete. I said, I need help with that. Sounds like a contradiction. Because if I'm already complete, then he don't have to complete anything. And he immediately gave me the answer. So simple. He said that he is completing the work of making known to me that I am complete in him. He's completing the work of helping me to realize that I'm complete already. See, that's what it's all about. It's getting over into the revelation that I'm complete. I already have fulfillment. So I'm not anxious about getting this or having that or this changing or that changing. I'm in a place of faith. Faith is not anxious about these things because faith is in the place of fulfillment. It's already complete. And so God is working in us to get us to the place where we know we're complete and we stay in that place of knowing. And we don't get out of it. So that everything we do in life, we do from this place of being complete. Everybody say, I'm rich, fully supplied, have everything I have need of, no want, no lack. Praise God. See, I've already retired. When I get to be such and such an age, I should retire. Why haven't you done that already? You're complete. You're fulfilled. You have total fulfillment. You have everything you have need of. Why don't you live like a retired person? And just enjoy the fruit of your labor. Just enjoy the works. You can't enjoy the works of your hands very much if what you're doing is incomplete and is full of lack and possibly might not work out. Right? That just creates pressure, 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 pressure. But we're not to be living life under pressure, out of necessity, out of compulsion. We're not to be living our life out of that place. We're to be living our life out of the place of faith in that we're already complete in him, that Jesus is my fulfillment. He is my peace. He is my joy. And then when you actually possess things, when you actually get things, you can enjoy them. In fact, you could even enjoy the possessing of them. In fact, you could even enjoy when the thing doesn't seem like it's going to get possessed and it falls apart. You could even enjoy that, knowing that something's better is right around the corner. How do you know that? Because the Lord's my shepherd, and he's leading me. So he's leading me into something good. Amen. So it doesn't matter how many demon-possessed people try to get in my way. I'm going to possess the blessing of God in the land of the living. I'm going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Spring up, oh well. Spring up. See, it's all on the inside of you. Spring up, oh well. Let that Holy Spirit deep within us rise, rise, rise. Let's flow out of Him. Let Him flow out of us. Let that well, bless God, refresh us and bring fulfillment to our every moment of every day of our life. Let's live in that place. Let's draw from the well. Hallelujah. Let's not live in the mental realm. Let's live over in the land of the living. Woo! Hallelujah. That's that place of faith. That's that place where people are living. See, over in the natural, people are existing. They're trying to stay alive. They're striving to get, striving to get. No, we're over in the land of the living, man. We're just living. We're living the life. Woo! Hallelujah. Living the life. That's the land we live in. Some say, I'm living in the land of the living. See, that's where you see the goodness of God. That's where you see by faith, the goodness of God. That's what we see. We don't go by what we see according to the natural. We go by what we see according to the spiritual. I mean, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 goes so far as to say we don't even look at what is seen, but at what is unseen. Because the things that are seen are temporary. What do you mean? They're subject to change. They're all subject to change. But the things of the Spirit, they're eternal. They're unchanging. They're solid. They're a guarantee. That's what we've built our life on. See, we face all this wavering, unstable stuff in this world from a very, very stable and secure place. We are the most secure people on the face of the earth. I am so secure. Say that. I'm so secure. So secure. There's no insecurity. There's no insecurity. There's no inferiority. I'm full. I'm blessed. I have everything. I have what everybody wants. That's how our attitude needs to be. I have everything the world wants. I'm living the dream. Well, he said, you know, when we get a hold of this, that we would be like those who dream. Didn't he say that? He said we'd be like those who dream. And our mouths would be filled with laughter. Hallelujah. And our tongue was singing. And they'll say among the heathen, the Lord's done great things for them. And we'll say, the Lord has done great things for us. Wherefore we are glad. Hallelujah. Are you glad? Well, let the world see it. God loves a merry heart. So everything we do out of this place of faith. We do it out of the Spirit. We do it from the land of the living. We do it from the realm of the Spirit. Our acts are one thing, but our motives are another thing. Again, our acts deal with the physical and the natural, but our motives deal with the spiritual. Deals with the why behind what we're doing. My actions are physical, but they are motivated by the spiritual. We're to live out of the Spirit as we give out physically. So we're giving out physically, but living out of our spirits as we do that. For example, how many of you know I need to come tonight and preach? That's what I need to do. I need to preach, but I'm not ministering out of that need. The Lord spoke to that to me years ago. He said, don't minister what you know. In other words, don't minister out of your head. He said, minister out of the overflow of your walk with me. Let it overflow. Let it be the overflow. Not out of need, not out of we have to do it, but out of the bigness of God in us, the overflow of God in us. So my mind declares my needs, but my spirit declares my faith. Psalm 103, verse 7, it says, He, talking about the Lord, He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. How many of you know it's important to know God's heart? We need to know his heart. And here's what it's saying. It's saying God made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. The children of Israel only stopped with knowing God's actions. They saw what he did. But they didn't know why he did what he did. They never stopped to really get to know the heart of God. Had they gotten to know the heart of God, it would have changed their hearts. And they wouldn't have been so works-minded. Because that word acts there also could be translated action or works. And so when you focus in just on God's works, then you become work-minded. We don't want to just be work-minded. We want to know God's heart. And his heart is a heart of love. He does what he does out of love. And that's what we need to get a hold of. We need to see his love. And when we see his love, then you and I will be motivated by that same love. A lot of folks just see his actions. And they stop with just their works. But we need to see God's heart of love and walk in love ourselves. Overflow with that love in everything we do in life, in all our actions. So our actions aren't driven by need. Our actions are driven by love. Our actions are driven by God. Our actions are driven by the Lord our shepherd. That's what motivates us, is the heart of God. And we are heart people. We do it. We do out of the heart. We're not just heady. We have minds. We need to renew the mind. And we need to know the facts. And we need to know what we need to know. We need to know what we need to know. But we don't stop with what we need to know. Yes, you need to know what you need to know. But you don't stop with what you need to know. You need to flow out of your heart in fulfilling the things that you need to do. And it flows out of a heart that is already fulfilled and complete and is done, is finished. Everything's complete already. So what we're doing to get done in our heart is really as good as done. Because it's already done and we've already won and we already had the victory sitting with the Son. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? See, that's how Jesus did what he did. He did what he did as someone that was already done with doing what he came to do. See, he was just walking out what he saw was already done. It was already finished. It was already finished to him. He was just walking it out. You see that in the book of John. John's gospel talks a lot about that. Let's go to John 16. See, Jesus was always very conscious of the Father that was with him. Now, how many people know, this, in John 16, Jesus has not gone to the cross yet. He has not gone to the cross yet. He has not physically gotten the victory over death, hell, and the grave yet, has he? He hasn't done it yet. This John 16, he has not gone to the cross. He has not risen from the dead yet. He has not already gotten the victory over death, hell, and the grave. He has not already conquered the world. He has not already overcome the world. It hasn't happened yet. But look how he talks. 16 verse 32, indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you'll be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. You know, Jesus was never caught by surprise about anything. He's already telling them what's going to happen before it happened. It's already done to him. He's like, now this is exactly what's going to happen. I've already been there, done that. Been there, done that. I mean, that's how we live our life. Been there, done that. I mean, nothing just shocks us. And nothing happens that gets us just like, woo! Because we're already woo! We live woo. Yeah. Right? We just live woo! That's how we live. We live in the woo, man. We are wooed. We are woo. We create woo. That's who we are. We don't react to things. Woo! Woo! Now I'm happy. Already am. See what I'm saying? Already happy, already fulfilled, already complete. That's why the devil can't impress us. The world can't impress us because we're already so impressed. I've been there, done that. Right? Got the t-shirt, the whole thing. Don't you love it? I'm just talking about you. This is who you are. You're complete. It's exciting. We can already be there. We're already enjoying ourselves, aren't we? Isn't this exciting? You can get up in the morning and already enjoy yourself. You can enjoy your day before it even gets started. Right? Praise God. Just get up in the morning and go, I just love being me. I just love me. I love me. See, but then if you love me, then, I mean you, if you love yourself, then you'll love others. Right? Jesus said you'll love others as you love your. But if you wake up and you just kind of hate yourself because you just have nothing and nothing goes right for you. God bless the people you come in contact with. Right? What kind of a blessing are you going to be? You can only be a blessing to the degree that you know that you're blessed. Does God want you to be a blessing? Well, then you need to see yourself blessed. So blessed. I'm not just talking about a little blessed. I'm blessed. I am saturated blessed. I don't feel like it. I walk by faith, not by your feelings. I like what Smith Wigglesworth said. You know, someone came up to him and said, how are you doing today, Smith? He said, I don't ask Smith how he's doing. I tell Smith how he's doing. I like that. And I can tell you exactly. People come to me and say, how you doing, Pastor? I'm like, what a stupid question. What do you think? Right? Hey, how you doing, Pastor? It's like, you don't know that? No, I know. You're just being polite. Don't feel afraid to say that. I understand. You already know the answer. You just want to hear it. And that's good. It's good. We should provoke one. How you doing today, Ian? Huh? See, it just gives him an opportunity to say what I already know. And what he already knows, right? I mean, it's not like a question like, how are you doing today, David? We're not sure of the answer. What's the answer going to be today? I'll tell you exactly how I'm doing today. Hallelujah. We're blessed. You know exactly how I'm doing. I love that. It's actually over in the book of Judges, there was an angel that appeared. And it was the father of Samson that the angel appeared to. And he was telling about the baby that was going to be born. And so the father said, he said, what is your name that we can honor you when the child is born? And the angel looked at him and said, why do you ask my name, seeing it's wonderful? Don't you love that? Why do you ask my name, seeing it's wonderful? It's powerful. Amen. How you doing today? Why would you ask me that? Seeing I'm wonderful. Right? Why would you ask me something like that? Can't you see I'm wonderful? See, the angel had that attitude. Why not you? You should have the same attitude. If an angel can have that attitude, how much more of a son of God? How much more a child of the living God? Hallelujah. That's how we go through life. Think of how many things would just change if your attitude changed. See, people are waiting for things to change before their attitude changes. But no, you need to change attitude, and then things will change according to your attitude. How is your attitude? Your attitude affects your altitude. I'm really actually as high as I can be because I'm seated in the highest place in Christ Jesus, right? So then everything has to come up in the natural. See, me in the physical has to come up because me in the spiritual is already up. And see, it all happens in the spirit first. So if the spirit man is seated and he's resting and he's in authority and he's in this high place, then everything in the physical will have to rise and come up to that place. Because everything in the seen is the result of the unseen. So we need to live out of the unseen so that what we see will line up to the unseen that we see, but nobody else sees necessarily. Verse 32, indeed the hour is coming, yes, now has come, that you will be scattered each to his own and will leave me alone. And yet, I'm not alone because the Father's with me. Isn't that great? No more loneliness. No more loneliness. How could you be lonely if the Father's with you? Jesus is like, you're all going to abandon me. Every one of you are going to leave, but I'm not alone. You're going to leave me alone, but I'm not really alone. See how he thinks? This is how you and I need it. That's why Jesus was able to do what he did, because he thought like this. And it's how we're going to do what we're called to do, because we think like this. I've already got it. I got the Father's with me. I'm not alone. I need someone to help me. I got the helper. I said, I got the helper. I got the helper, the Holy Spirit. I got the helper. I got the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 33, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. See, in the natural, tribulation. In the spiritual, shalom. Total peace, total wellness, right? Calm, happiness, rest, retirement. Oh, it's just glory. That's what he's saying. Yeah, in the world you have tribulation, but who cares? He says, be of good cheer. God loves a cheerful giver that doesn't live life out of necessity. Live life out of need and want and lack. And sees himself in a tribulation, in a terrible storm. No. God loves a cheerful giver, one who sees himself already with the victory over the storm. Even though in the natural he's going through it. In the spirit, he sees himself already through it. Can you say amen? In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Watch this. I have overcome the world. I have overcome. Be of good cheer. Be cheerful. It's okay. I have, past tense, overcome the world. He did not do it yet. He did not overcome the world. He did not overcome death, hell, and the grave yet in the physical. But he was living life out of the spiritual as an overcomer already. This is already wrapped up. It's already taken care of. I've already overcome. So get happy. Get happy, guys. I've overcome. And they're like, oh, wow, great. He overcame. Next thing they know, what do they say? They see him being beaten. They see him being nailed to a cross. They see him bleeding and dying. They see this torture, this suffering. And he just finished telling them, be of good cheer, I've overcome. And guess what? Because he had already overcome by faith, his body rose from the dead and joined him in the victory. The physical lined up to where he was in the spiritual. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to live in that place. Bless God. I'm going to live in the land of the living. Can you say amen? Somebody say, spring up. Life of God. The Lord is my shepherd. I have no want. No lack. Not now. Not never. Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet. Let's thank him tonight for the truth. This is the truth, bless God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Father.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.